We are brought to you by our production team, Upstarter Podcast Network, a virtual podcast production and management company whose unique and customizable approach helps anyone, anywhere, turn their passions into a podcast and walk them through all aspects from recording virtually, editing, social media assets, monetization, a custom show growth strategy, and all other little details. My experience with Upstarter has been unreal. I hand them everything. They take the lead. I can focus on making the show and creating the content. So if you are a creator that is looking to expand their personal brand with a podcast or a business that wants to increase awareness and credibility, sign up for a free consult today and learn more. You can go to upstarterpods.com or Upstarter Pods on Instagram and let them know that Brand Meet Creator sent you. Welcome to Brand Meet Creator Podcast with me, Harley Jordan, and Sonia Elise.
A place where we pull back the curtain and the trashy filters on the influencer marketing industry.
So pull up a chair and grab a notebook.
It's time to shed some light on the ever-changing Instaverse.
This episode, we're going to be talking about follower count. Last episode, we broke down at what point we really need to focus on growth. There are going to be phases of plateaus where you focus on building community, and there's going to be times where it's full steam ahead, pushing through to make that follower count happen. So we want to talk about what the tipping point is, what it really looks like to have 10K followers, what it looks like to have 100K followers as an influencer and as a brand.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of assumptions going around when you were at 5,000 or somewhere around that, thinking like, oh, if I only got to 10,000, right? The amount of times that brands tell me, like, I just want to get to 10,000. Of course, that used to be because it unlocked your link sticker or your swipe up, RIP. But now I still hear that from people. They just want to get to 10,000, which is so interesting. And then, of course, there's people who are well past 10,000 and all they can think about is hitting 100K. And it's most likely because they think something is going to happen. So I wonder what is this something that is on the other side of the journey when that ticker goes off to 100K? What have your experiences been, Harley, since you speak more frequently with influencers who have 100K and are talking about their day-to-day lives? What are the differences? What are you seeing?
I mean, first off, you're just always going to be looking at that person with more followers and thinking, the people are going to like me more at this point. I'm going to have more people interested in my life at this point. I'll have more brand deals, more success once I reach this point. And part of that is just a mindset problem of that's not the case. But one thing that's been on my mind a lot recently is, at what point did people think you are a full-time creator? Because I have a feeling that people think when they first start that, I don't know if it's 10K, because you get that out of your head really quickly at 10K that you are capable of being full time, because it becomes this huge hustle. But at what point, I don't know, at what point do you think influencers are full time when you're looking at creators that you're scouting?
I mean, I assume people are definitely full-time by the time they hit 100K, but there's always people who surprise you. And I always think that people probably around 50K could go full-time, but it really depends on their commitment and what else they're doing in their business.
It's really commitment.
Some people have 100K and they don't want this to be their full-time. They have other careers that they're really happy in and they like the balance. And some people have less than 50K and they're able to make it work being a full-time creator. Maybe they have, you know, a partnership and they don't need necessarily, you know, a partnership with a partner, someone that they live with, then they don't have as many expenses, or perhaps they, you know, are younger, they still live with their parents, they're in college, and they can be making a full-time income off of creating and influencing. So, and there's some people who just wait around, you know, they have 25,000 followers, they wait around for like a really big deal. They do that deal and then they live off of that for a while and they wait around for another one instead of taking a bunch of really small deals.
Right.
So to me, I always assume, which I guess you should never assume because you don't know the circumstances other people are coming from, but I think somewhere in between the 50K to 100K mark, you could be going full time if you're strategic about it. And you could probably go in full time earlier than that if you're very strategic about it and you're doing lots of other forms of partnerships because you are really entrepreneurial.
Right. What about on the business side? If you have a product-based business, because I think about this often when it comes to scouting brands that I'm going to pitch, at what point can they bring on influencers because they're making enough money with social media conversion orders, et cetera?
That's such a great question because I'm sure many other influencers are asking themselves like, oh, I'm looking at their, you know, their Instagram, they have this many followers, they must have money. That's right. Not true necessarily. There's a lot of indie brands that I follow that have really blown up, but they're only run by five people. They don't have a big marketing department. Right. You know, they just have really big fan loyalty and they are still unable to pay creators. They do have maybe, you know, creator partnerships, perhaps they gift or they have a discount code for people who reach out, but they really don't have the means. And then there are some people who are in early stages and they apply for fundraising. And they use part of that fundraising to pay for influencer support. And those people may only have 20,000 followers. So I don't think that there's a real way of knowing for sure if you are doing that type of scouting, like Harley is discussing, doing research on the companies. I don't think that just looking at their Instagram account and those numbers is ever going to be able to tell you. I think trying to look for the overarching business, are they owned by another company? Can you find them in the news where they've gotten investing, other stuff? That might be able to tell you a little bit more. Not everybody publishes that type of information. So I think, as always, you should really start your research with, do I like this company? And then go from there, because it's a little bit of a crapshoot in knowing if they're going to have budget for influencers.
That first couple of years in business is so hard too. There is so much investment that happens. And if you have four employees, if you have a team of five, regardless of the fact that you're paying a social media manager to do X, Y, and Z, that's a lot of money per month, even if you're looking at baseline salaries.
There's so much that goes into having a product business. It's crazy. That's why I've sworn off ever launching a product-based business. I just like the amount of things you have to invest in that people don't realize. And I see creators giving brands a lot of shit, honestly, about not paying them, not having the funds. And I do, of course, always defend creators in terms of you shouldn't be taken advantage of. People shouldn't be asking for things straight up for free. But at the same time, creators need to realize all that goes into having a product-based business. It's not just every profit can go back into marketing. There is product development. Yes. There are other things, finance teams, you know, their websites, the photography. There's so much that goes into it that you don't know. At the end of the day, a company may be saying that they have generated a certain amount in income on their financial statements, but their outgoing could be just as much or even higher. They could be in the red. So it's really difficult.
The amount that you're paying the founder could be minimal.
Yeah, correct. I mean, most founders, if they're smart, are only paying themselves less than $50,000, most likely. It's not a lot of money. They're not like rolling around super rich until much later if they're lucky. So yeah, it's just, it's, there's a lot to take into account when it comes to this subject, 100%.
I think there's a misconception about entrepreneurship and starting a business in general, regardless of if you are a creator or a brand, those people in your inbox, it doesn't mean much. But let's kind of break down what those phases in your business look like at brand, on the brand side, and at the creator side. So do we just start at 10K? Like, what does it look like when you have 10K followers? How many DMs are we getting a day?
Ooh, how many DMs? That's a good question. And again, like everything is so particular when it comes to estimating anything, because it's like, you could be the type of brand that has 10K, but like, you're just pushing product and like, you are what you are, or whatever. Or you could be the type of brand that has 10K and like 90% of that 10K, you know, personally, and they're all ordering and it's, you know, a really tight knit community.
Right.
So tough to say. I don't know you. I mean, I've never hit 10K, so I'm not in the DMs at 10K.
But you've managed You've True. Managed
most
brands.
Of the people that I manage, though, are have much higher than 10K because most people who need full time management are past the 10K point. So we're not like in there.
So for me, when I think of 10K, it still feels like a lot of your content is falling on deaf ears. Like you probably aren't going to be getting a ton of questions in a question box that you submit. You're, sure. You might be getting some of the responses to your story, but it's not overwhelming. You're seeing all of your DMs 1,000%. And even at 100K, I still think you're seeing all of your DMs. I get this very frequently where people slide into my DMs and they say, I don't think you'll ever see this. And it doesn't matter if you do, but, and then start off something. And I'm like, I definitely see it. Whether I have the bandwidth to answer a full-on question that you sent me, that's a different story, but you see everything.
You see it if you want to, 100%. If you're checking those incomings, absolutely. And if you want to be engaged, you will be. I would say that around 10K, your DMs are going to be light to medium. You're not in the heavy.
I think
zone
I
whatsoever.
Turned off my notifications at around 10K. For everything on Instagram, because
everyone should turn off their notifications.
It was a lot. And at that point we were in the midst of COVID. So, I mean, it was a little bit of a different space when I was doing the beginning stages. It wasn't like I had anything else going on, but I would say that's when that starts to get a little bit more overwhelming. When can you not see your DMs?
Definitely, I think 250K up, maybe 300K, 500K. It's not that you can't see them. It's that you probably are so flooded with people that you aren't friends with personally, that like haven't been following you for a long time, aren't like aware of all the stories. The questions that you're getting are like things that you've answered a million times. I think it becomes a choice. More so than you could get to it if you wanted to, but you're realizing that it's so much duplication. It's so much just like, this is cute. That's great. Wonderful. It's like so much stuff that doesn't matter to building your community or your purpose that you're kind of like over it at that point. You're only like fostering.
And it really becomes, right. Your questions really become those drivers for what you add into your story next, instead of what you're going to respond to specifically. If I see 10 DMs come in that say, where did you get this? There's actually a high likelihood that I'm not going to respond to that story. And I might create or respond to that message. And I might just create the answer in my story next.
That's interesting. Mainly because how do you know that those people are going to see the next story?
You don't, but do I have the bandwidth to respond to every single one? Is that expected?
No.
See, that's the problem.
No, I don't think so.
It's you want to create community and you want to kickstart conversations and help people, but wow. This happened to me a couple weeks ago. I started talking about a personal situation and got probably 150 DMs. It was like scroll central, just unread on top of everything else. And I think at this point, maybe at 20K, you start to miss things. You start to miss notifications, but I still see them.
Yeah, you definitely still see them, but maybe you just don't have the bandwidth to respond. And yeah, there will be peaks for sure. There's going to be times where you post about something and everybody wants to know, where is that from? Or how do I get this? Or how did you do that? And to Harley's point, yeah, that's a great indicator of what you should post next, whether that be like in feed or a new story, or maybe it means that you need to put something into a highlight. But yeah, I guess I also wonder what happens at 1 million followers. There's so many people now that have a million followers. It's not even unique anymore. I remember when I saw Kiara, the fashion influencer. I remember when she hit a million followers, and this was a long time ago. And I was like, oh my God, a million people follow this girl. And you know, she wasn't really a celebrity at the time. It wasn't like Kim Kardashian or someone. I wonder what's going on in the DMs for someone who has a million followers.
Yes. When you have 30K views on your story, I have no idea what happens at that point.
I feel like at that point you have an assistant or someone who's like helping you. Yeah. And you're like relying on every trick in the book to like get back to people who you know. Oh, God, that must be so interesting. I just want to be in someone's DM. I just want to like see the inbox in the management system. I just want to know systematically, how are you doing it?
So I know that you can go into Facebook and sort them better, right?
Correct. Yeah. So Facebook or even the web version of Instagram, which I feel like people don't really use, but I use it for research a lot. But if you go to the web version of your Instagram account, you can also go through the DMs much faster. And of course, like copy and paste and type and do stuff much more quickly. But in Facebook, as long as you have, I think, a business or creator account, you have tons more options in terms of how you manage all of your DMs and your messaging systems.
So at a million followers, do you even open up DM requests? That sounds so awful.
Oh, no way.
So what about your big brands? That's where I'm sitting in confusion.
They have like whole customer service teams that have management systems linked in to Instagram. So like one of my brands has, I think, around 30,000 Instagram followers. It's a store. And they have their customer service team gets alerts with every DM. And then it's part of the customer service team's job to sort through what is basically customer service and what is, you know, social media. And they got this plugin more recently. So that's definitely an option for brands that are much larger. There's so many different CRM systems that pull and integrate through Instagram so that you don't miss those things. So even if they're in like the request area, they can still see them.
When do you think influencers, or when do you expect influencers to have a team, have an assistant that handles? I think it's a deep, dark, dirty secret that influencers use engagement assistants.
I mean, it shouldn't be. Why? I mean, why would any one person be expected to do everything? That's crazy.
I agree. But people expect you to be the person responding in DMs, in comments, and they feel special. But there's some weird, I mean, when I had someone do this for me, I don't anymore, but that was such a godsend to have someone doing all of the engagement on my page. And I said, stay out of my DMs. I want to be the person that responds to those. I feel like that's a more personal level, but you feel like you can't talk about it. I've spoken to so many coaches that feel the same way too, regardless of it being the same questions over and over.
Sure. I think it's never too soon. Once you start taking brand deals and you have to have management systems for where things are and what is going on with your account, I think it's great to get an assistant in there as soon as possible and start creating those systems for yourself. Like if you're serious about growing, if you're serious about doing this full time and building a business that is sustainable for the long term, the only way to do it is to have help. There's no way.
Yes.
And maybe that person doesn't do certain things that you want to touch yourself. Just like you said, Harley, you have to have like boundaries because you still need to be the face of your account. But there's so many other things that they can help you organize and do, make your life more simple and more effective. Or else you don't have the time to grow. You don't have the time to explore new concepts, put out new types of content that you haven't in the past, or you know, have long, elaborate photos and stuff. Yeah, you don't have that type of time. So you got to have somebody who is kind of like your partner in crime there helping you out.
It's so underrated to have an assistant as an influencer. At 20, I would say even before that, around 15 to 20K, if you are taking on consistent partnerships or if you want to be, having an assistant instead of management is really invaluable. Doing some of that outreach to make sure, and it can be a couple of hours a week. Like you can be bringing on your VA for 2 hours a week and hire someone that's interested in a small amount of time per month. They're pitching for you. Maybe they're handling some of your inbox. Maybe they're handling, you know, engagement 1 hour a day. It really, as much as it adds up over time, a $400 investment per month for your sanity at that kind of range makes so much sense to me.
100%. I mean, it's going to free you up to be able to pitch multiple $500+ campaigns, execute properly on the campaigns that you already have instead of being like messy and all over the place. I think that it is invaluable to have help. And that comes with, you know, a brand side as well. Well, as soon as you can afford even a few hours, I see entrepreneurs, and of course, entrepreneurs can be anyone, but I'm speaking of people who work more on the product side. They run themselves into the ground trying to do every single thing to save a buck, when really the smart thing is to let go of a very small amount of money that you can let go of. And sometimes you have to take a hit at first, a little bit, but it frees you up to do so much more, even just like enjoy life so that you can come to work in a happier mood. Like, knowing that somebody else is like taking care of something for you and is doing it well is, it really is invaluable, as Harley's saying.
You know what I don't understand? Solopreneurs, people that don't hire anyone. I know so many people at 100K plus who are just grinding themselves into the ground, have zero help, whether they're influencers or business owners. And that is never something that I will get. It's time to bring on help. No matter what that help is, there is something out there that can take off the franticness, because the amount of notifications pouring in, you can't. That spike in stress and anxiety and answering at all hours, no way. The number of times that I get messages at 8 p.m., no, let's even go earlier, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. That's a pretty wide window where this person is frantic for some kind of question that they need me for. I was their late night thought. I don't wanna. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, I think the takeaway is, if you're hearing this, it's time to hire help. Whatever that looks like, 1 hour a day is better than zero, for sure. Yeah. Have them organize your incoming gifting, have them organize your email box, and then you can do the responses. Like, there's just so, have them do light engagement, go in there and like stuff and comment on things. Like, small stuff can get done in an hour a day, and it's such a minimal amount of budget, I'm sure. You'll thank us later.
Thanks for hanging out on Brand Meet Creator Podcast. We will catch you next time.